Frank Freer of Wolcott, New York, spent 8 hours peeling the skin off of an apple into one continuous 130-foot-long strand. Can you imagine how difficult that must have been? Not to be outdone, there was a Texan named Plenty Wingo who took a year and a half to walk backwards from Austin to Istanbul. Joe Gagnon of Everett, Washington, ate 437 clams in 10 minutes. 60 British citizens spent 24 hours pushing a baby carriage around an oval track 319 miles. Recently, George Grenier took 30 minutes to eat 44 hard-boiled eggs, which inspired David Taylor to eat 16 raw eggs, shells included, in 3 minutes. Clinton Losey of West Richland, Washington, delivered a 48-hour nonstop sermon. And 8 people stayed in church for the entire event. Not to be outdone this morning. You'll take heart. Ron Linderman said, "What's a homily?" It says homily in the bulletin. I said, "Short, Ron, it means short." There are so many things to accomplish in this world. There are even greater things to do than peeling apples into 138-foot-long strands or eating eggs that are raw with shell on in 3 minutes. And we all want to do our best, and we want to prepare, and that's why we value education so very much. And that's why we need our teachers, and we need to value our teachers. Because through education, we not only strengthen our minds, but we strengthen our hearts, we develop character. We stretch toward our full potential, and we need to support one another along the way, from our youngest to our graduate students to those who are in the vineyard teaching. That's why we want to bless our students today. That's why we want to bless our teachers, because we travel together seeking good character and knowledge and understanding. And just maybe our lessons teach us that at the core of all that we're trying to do, as we shape character, at the very center of that project is a generous and grateful heart. And in the story of Jonah, and it is a story, it's a morality tale, we meet a prophet who did not have a generous or a gracious heart. The first thing we learn about Jonah is that Jonah hated the Ninevites. And that was a real people. That was a real city. The Ninevites lived up in the place we call Iraq, in a city on the Tigris River, and they had never been very friendly to the people of Israel. But God wanted to give the Ninevites a chance to join the human project, and he picks Jonah for that job. But it was not a job that Jonah wanted, because he did not like the Ninevites one bit. So you know what Jonah did? God told him to go north to Iraq to preach to ISIS. And Jonah said, "That doesn't sound like a very good idea. I'm sure I'm mishearing you, Lord." So we're told that he went to Tarshish, which is on the southern coast of Spain. God said, "Go to Iraq," and Jonah said, "I'm going to Spain." And that'd be a hard choice, wouldn't it? ISIS or flamenco? ISIS, flamenco. We're all going with Jonah, right? We're going to catch the trip to Spain. But God does an amazing thing in this story. He changes enemies into friends. Sometimes that can happen, but Jonah isn't very happy about that either. To top things off, our lessons today give us a slightly strange story in Matthew's gospel about the odd boss, the strange employer, who goes out all day long to hire people to work in his vineyard. It is crush time. You can't wait to harvest the grape wines if you want a good Cabernet. So all day long, he is out. It must have been at least 102 like it was around here last week. He's hiring people out of the blazing heat and tells them to go work in his vineyard, some all day long, some for 4 hours, some 2 hours, some maybe less than that. And then he pays them the same amount. It was not fair. It was a completely annoying thing to do. Someone called the union. The point of both of these lessons is that God loves us each abundantly, and that we should maybe spend a little less time worrying about what is fair and what isn't, and just get on with working together for good goals. We can grump around like Jonah. We can grump around all day long. We can fret about how unfair and imperfect our lives and this world is. But maybe we would do better to open our eyes to see just how very much God has given each one of us and respond with grateful hearts. Reach out to our neighbor, no matter how disappointing they may be or the circumstances surrounding the extension of ourselves on their behalf may be. That might not be a bad back-to-school attitude for us to cultivate. Last summer, I planted a garden. I planted a variety of tomatoes. I planted Roma tomatoes because I like to make pasta sauce. And I planted beefsteak tomatoes because I like to grill burgers. And I planted heirloom tomatoes because I am forever an optimist. And I planted basil because I like to make pesto. The one thing I did not plant was zucchini. The zucchini was a surprise. I worked hard on the tomatoes, but the thing that grew best in that garden was the zucchini, which I had not planted and did not tend. But I learned to make some delicious recipes for zucchini at harvest time. We want to be open to surprises along the way. Many good things come unasked and unearned. In fact, you might say that our lives are not earned. They are not asked for. We're very lucky to live where we do in the United States, in Southern California. Most of us didn't arrange to be born here. We are blessed beyond measure, beyond all the peoples of the earth. When we start to believe that we get what we deserve, maybe we need to reread the story of Jonah and Matthew's tale of that odd but generous boss. We earn less of the good that comes to us in this life than we imagine. Have you spent much time in the South? I have not. But I remember a road trip driving through the South. I was in Louisiana. I was alone. I'd gotten a late start from a shabby hotel in which I was staying, and I stopped for a late breakfast in a small bayou town. The town made me a little nervous. And I went into the diner, and I ordered eggs and sausage and toast and orange juice, because I could do that back then. And when my plate arrived, I could see right away that the waitress had the order all wrong. There were things on my plate that I had not ordered. There was something gray and mushy in the center of the plate. And so I said politely to the waitress, "This is not my plate. You have confused my order." And she said, "Oh, honey, them's grits." You don't order grits. They just come. And I found out I liked grits. A lot of life just comes, both the bad and the good. We don't deserve much of either. Both the bad and the good are gifts. They remind us not to be overly impressed with ourselves, even when we make straight A's in school, even when we blow the top off at whatever vocation or employment with which we are engaged. It's a reminder to be happy for others. The best of life is like wild zucchini. It's like Louisiana grits. You don't order it up. It just comes by the grace of God with everything else on the plate. So whatever you are doing this year, wherever you are in the school of life, be happy for others and open to surprise. And grateful to God. It's a good way to start the school year. Amen.